Hello and welcome once again to the Nutmeg Podcast. I am Gary Shepherd from Nutmeg, and today I'm joined by Scott Gardner from our investment team and Catman, also from Nutmeg, for a slightly special episode. Welcome. How are you both?
Hi, Gary. Yeah, really good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm very good. So, as Gary mentioned, this episode we're going to do something slightly different and dedicate the entire episode to a thorough look at thematic investing. At Nutmeg, we've just launched a new range of thematic portfolios, and we're going to get into what is thematics, how does it work, and how are we approaching it at Nutmeg. But before we do that, Scott, this is the first time you've joined us on the podcast, so welcome. And also, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Kat. So I'm an investment strategist within the investment team here at Nutmeg. I joined Nutmeg in August 22 and have experience across multi-asset portfolios and fixed income here in the UK and overseas. In my role, at the moment, I focus on the interaction between economies and financial markets, subsequent impact this has on asset class performance, and work together with my colleagues in the investment team on the management of our portfolios.
Perfect. And in the sort of role as managing our portfolios, you've been quite heavily involved in the launch of our new thematic portfolio range. Is that correct?
Yes, my contributions have been focusing on the research of our themes and on portfolio construction.
Perfect. So before we get into the deep, deep, deep weeds of research and identifying the themes, which we will do, don't worry, and portfolio construction, all of that good stuff is definitely to come. I want to just take a little bit of a step back for the uninitiated out there who may be thinking portfolio construction, you've sort of lost me a little bit, and might not be familiar with the idea of investment lingo. Mm-hmm. What is thematic investing?
Yeah, so thematic investing at its core is the identification of long-term growth opportunities that we can't really label, classify in traditional sectors or industries. It can either be very, very global or very, very localized. So what it really isn't, though, is about chasing today's headlines around new technologies or items which have very little substance or long-term traction. The trends themselves need to be well-defined and have a tangible impact on economic growth moving forward.
So this is about the sort of big top-down themes that are having a sort of broader impact on society and the economy and the things that we're probably expecting to become more important in the years ahead. One thing that kind of instantly springs to mind, partly because you can't avoid it anywhere, is artificial intelligence. Am I right? Am I kind of on the right sort of line?
Yeah, that's right.
So, Scott, if this is about the themes that are going to have a significant impact on us in the future, is thematic investing a relatively new approach to investing?
I wouldn't really say it's a relatively new approach to investing, but it's rather a variation on an existing style called growth investing, which has been around for a very long time. So growth investing typically focuses on individual companies as a starting point. So this is known in the industry as doing bottom-up analysis. Whereas thematic investing focuses on broad economic trends and then digs into the weeds to identify investment opportunities, so which is why it's also called sometimes top-down investing. We have different ways you can approach thematic investing depending on which area of the market that you're in. So public and private markets are very different. Private markets tend to have companies where trends are very much in their infancy or early stages of development. When a company matures and enters into the public market sphere, it becomes potentially available for inclusion into indices, funds, and other pooled structures. So at Nutmeg, we solely invest in public markets via index-based ETFs or exchange-traded funds.
Okay, that makes sense.
You may know that I actually said potentially available.
Yeah.
So for a company to actually be included within an index, it needs to meet certain criteria from the provider. So this could be revenue exposure from a trend or a certain industry classification for it to be considered for inclusion.
And at Nutmeg, at a very high level, our approach is to invest in public markets via ETFs, as you've just said, and we're targeting the more sort of established themes that we think are going to be consequential, because I'm kind of assuming you could have a myriad of themes. The number of themes could be endless, and therefore you sort of have to start somewhere. So if we've picked the things that we think are going to be consequential in the years to come and provide significant opportunities for investors, is that where we're starting from?
Yes, that's right.
Perfect. So tell me a little bit more about how we do thematic investing at Nutmeg. I guess the first place to start is, how did we decide on which themes to focus on?
Absolutely. So we began on defining what the core pillars of long-term economic growth are. At Nutmeg, we believe they are productivity, resources, and population. So starting with productivity, this focuses really on efficiency improvements, doing more with less. Traditionally, you see technology being a driving force of change in this throughout history. Resources, as the name implies, is pretty much how much stuff do we have to make or deliver a good or service. Commodities usually fall into this category, as does energy. And then finally, population focuses on us, our needs, our desires, our behaviors. We are ultimately the focus of the economy. So each of our themes targets one of these three pillars. Naturally, there's always going to be a little bit of crossover where trends overlap, but the core of the theme is either tied to productivity, resources, or population.
Okay, thanks, Scott. So let's look at each of the themes in a little more detail if we can. Mm-hmm. Let's start with technological innovation. I'm assuming, I might be wrong here, but this is where we put things like AI, which Kat mentioned earlier.
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. So technological innovation is our expression of productivity, specifically around commercial industrial uses of technology. So throughout history, technology has led economies to become more and more efficient in producing goods and services, going all the way back to the assembly line to the internet of today. The theme is on industrial applications of technology. So in here, we've got a lot of focus on automation and robotics, which captures also the evolution of artificial intelligence.
Sure, yeah.
Cloud computing, which covers everything from what was known in the industry as software as a service, so basically any apps or things like that, to data infrastructure. Cybersecurity, as the name implies, focuses on data protection, which is a rapidly growing area of technological advancement, as well as we become more and more digitalized around the world. And then finally, we can't forget about the brain of every digitally connected device, which is semiconductors.
I mean, I think everyone became a little bit more aware of semiconductors during the pandemic when availability of them became rarer. And I think even my mum found out what a semiconductor was, which I think tells us everything we need to know. So brilliant, Scott. You also mentioned the second one is resources, which I guess also links to semiconductors a little bit in terms of do we have enough of what we need to deliver the goods and services? Okay. So if that's one of the core pillars of the like long-term economic growth, how is Nutmeg looking at that area?
Yeah, so what materials we are using now and into the future is the focus of resource transformation. Specifically looking at future demand, it focuses on the underlying mix of the materials needed and the investment pathway to get there. So the move to less carbon-intensive ways of producing energy continues to have the support of governments globally. This is obviously a tailwind for investment in the sector, and also therefore, as a second-order effect, commodities, specifically industrial metals used for electrification, battery storage solutions, but also general upgrade of our infrastructure. There's also another resource which we don't talk too often about and we shouldn't forget because it's the most precious resource we have, which is water. And demand for clean water is expected to continue to increase over the coming decades. Now, we also worth mentioning here that we haven't designed the resource transformation theme to incorporate any environmental, social and governance considerations. Things like mining for materials, minerals are critical for the transition, but other technologies such as nuclear energy actually doesn't meet the criteria for sustainable investing.
Okay, so focusing on the evolution of our relationship with the world's resources, fascinating stuff. This must bring us on now to people and population.
Yes, last but certainly not least is evolving consumer. So evolving consumer focuses on our day-to-day lives. So as a species, our lifespans are increasing with new solutions and treatments within healthcare, which is obviously then leading to more increased demand for tailored solutions for different demographics. In addition, we have the emerging middle class, which is changing how we consume and interact with each other. So the global adoption of digital technologies is rapidly reducing this gap between developed and emerging economies.
So we've really seen that kind of change. I know, you sort of traditionally used to think of the sort of East and the West and the world, and now they often talk about the emerging middle class in China from an investment perspective having a really significant impact. So I definitely think we're becoming slightly more aware of it, and it's only going to happen more in the future. So I can see how each of the three themes gives investors exposure to the factors that are likely to shape our future. It seems fair that you can barely pick up a newspaper or probably access a website these days, which is probably more of the times, I'm showing my age there, without seeing something about AI and, of course, ChatGPT, energy resources, and what do we do about changing populations? Should we all be working longer? It's not exactly what was top of my list, but also what are the things in terms of long-term care provision or healthcare? But to my mind, each single theme could also have quite different components. If I think quite traditionally about sort of investing, I might think of a sector such as automotive or financial services. And I can understand how to identify similarities within that sector's banks, insurance companies in financial services, for example, car manufacturers in automotive. But if I think about evolving consumer, for example, there could be various different traditional, in air quote, sectors that would be involved within that theme, maybe healthcare to pensions. Mm. So with that in mind, and taking into account the fact that we use exchange-traded funds to build our portfolios at Nutmeg, how did you, Scott, and the investment team go about choosing which ETFs to include?
Yeah, so the selection process focused on three distinct points. Firstly, the purity of the theme, size of the fund, and market liquidity. So when we're talking about purity of the theme, this really focuses on the methodology from the index provider. So they will either look at industry classification or looking at revenue earned from a certain business activity. Size and market liquidity generally do move hand in hand.
And market liquidity, sorry, is just how easily something can be bought and sold.
Yes. Yeah, so when you go on a website, you look at the spreads costs, that is effectively the cost of trading. So from market liquidity. Larger funds usually will have more liquidity when we come to transact in a marketplace, which means lower cost to you, our investors. In addition, it also means that Nutmeg's clients aren't concentrated into a fund which has an increased risk of it being closed by the provider.
So just on a point, because I think some might, the closing, that kind of means we don't want Nutmeg clients essentially to be too big of that fund. That's what we mean by that concentration
risk.
Yeah,
correct.
Perfect.
So we also regularly review the ETFs that we have within the portfolio and keeping an eye on developments within the industry, which are always numerous. So we have new ETF products coming to the market quite regularly. And also there's some existing products which might reach a size where it becomes appropriate for us to include in portfolios.
Okay, so I imagine some of these ETFs for the thematic portfolios might be perhaps a little bit different from others, more niche or specialized. Scott, I mean, how concentrated are these ETFs compared to those in our other portfolios? In other words, do they hold fewer stocks?
Yeah, so these ETFs provide different exposures than what you would get in your usual ETFs like the S&P 500 or FTSE 100. So ultimately, it depends on the index methodology, and some are more concentrated than others. So to balance this out within the thematic portion, we've taken an approach which accounts for the volatility of the ETFs. So lower the volatility of the ETF will have a higher allocation compared to ones with a higher volatility, which tend to be slightly more concentrated. That said, overall, these investors should expect these portfolios to be slightly more volatile than our other styles we have on offer.
Okay, so these ETFs have different exposures compared to those in our other portfolios and a bit more concentrated in the way they invest in a smaller number of stocks. It's useful to know that we're balancing these more concentrated funds by using lower volatility ETFs as well. I guess that's the benefit of having a portfolio designed and managed by experts. On that note, Scott, throughout the process of researching and constructing these portfolios, I know risk management has been a priority for you and the team. I've seen you all beavering away for months on end at your desk getting these portfolios ready. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit more about how you've actually built these portfolios.
Yeah, so the way it works is your thematic portfolio is actually split into two portions. One portion of your portfolio will be invested in ETFs that focus on your chosen theme, which in turn will be invested in equities. The size of this portion is ultimately determined by your risk level. The higher risk level, the greater your thematic exposure. So for example, if you are risk level 5, your thematic portion will be approximately 10% of your overall portfolio. If you're at risk level 10, your exposure will be around 20% of your overall portfolio.
Great. So that accounts for the 10 to 20%, depending on where I am on the sort of risk level. Mm-hmm. What's making up the other 18 to 90% of my portfolio?
Yeah. So the remainder of the portfolio is made up of the actively managed funds invested in a globally diversified range of ETFs. So this is going to be across both equities and bonds. The portion is not specific to your chosen theme and is actively managed by myself and my colleagues in the investment team, who will regularly rebalance this portion of the portfolio and make strategic adjustments based on any news, analysis, or market activity.
And is there any sort of ongoing review or oversight of the thematic portion of my portfolio?
Yeah, so the thematic portion, the ETFs within that are reviewed annually, and it is rebalanced quarterly.
Oh, brilliant. So it kind of sounds like I'm getting the best of both worlds. The choice of a kind of concentrated theme within a diversified portfolio, and then the sort of broader piece as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, so one thing we should probably mention here is we do have a restriction on the offering for thematics. So risk profile 5 and higher. So our view is to invest thematically, you need sufficient exposure to equities. And when you're at risk profile 5 and higher, this starts to come about in portfolios. Whereas when you're risk profile 4 and lower, your portfolios have a higher allocation to bonds and therefore actually driven more by the bond market and other fixed income securities. We also have other considerations that we factor into account. So looking at, for example, foreign currency exposure. So there'd be a lot more US dollar exposure in thematics than would be in the lower risk portfolios, which are much more skewed to pound sterling.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. Thank you very much. And I suppose the question that we always get asked is, how do the Nutmeg portfolios, how do our new Nutmeg thematic portfolios compare and differ to others that are available? What makes us different?
So our thematic portfolios stick true to the ethos that Nutmeg was founded on, making investing and wealth management more accessible. At the moment, if you want to invest thematically, you really have two options available. The first is to do it yourself using a platform where you can use small amounts, but this carries specific risks and is time consuming because you are then taking on the responsibility of managing your own portfolio. The second is to have someone to do it for you, which can be expensive and have high barriers to entry in the forms of very high minimum thresholds. We're offering a solution that's somewhere in the middle. You can start with as little as £100 for our JISAs or LISAs and £500 for our stocks and shares ISAs. And we will manage it for you. So you ultimately will get the best of both worlds. A portfolio that has low fees, expertly managed, with a concentrated exposure. There's really nothing quite like it on the market, at least for the moment.
There we go. So if someone is listening to this podcast and thinking, this sounds like it could be for me, I'm really interested in one or more of these themes, and I've got the right risk appetite, I'm long-term, I'm quite comfortable taking a risk level 5 or above, what are the three things you'd say to them before they got started?
Have a long-term view. So we've designed these themes to capture structural drivers of economic growth. So these should last for 5 to 10 years plus. It provides the best of both worlds, so you've got the choice of a concentrated theme within a globally diversified portfolio. And thirdly, be comfortable with volatility, so markets move up and down. The themes have been incorporated within our globally diversified portfolio, but they're going to be more volatile than our other investment options.
Great. So to wrap up and summarise, we've launched three thematic portfolios. The three themes Scott and the investment team have built are technological innovation, resource transformation, and evolving consumer. These are long-term, future-focused themes, so investors should be comfortable committing to a longer time frame and watching them play out over the coming years. The portfolios invest in ETFs and are globally diversified and risk-adjusted with a tilt towards their theme. They're available to investors with a risk level of 5 and above because they're expected to be slightly more volatile than our other styles. They're an opportunity to exercise a bit of choice and discretion over the areas you're investing in, while also having the portfolio managed on your behalf. So you get to pick what you want to focus on and the rest of the work is done for you. And those, in a nutshell, are our thematic portfolios. Scott, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights and expertise. It has been really interesting to learn more about the thematic portfolios and how you've built them. We'll have to get you back on the podcast soon to hear about the work you're doing and perhaps give us an update on thematics a little bit further down the line.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me.
Thanks very much, Scott. And if you're listening to this and thinking that you're ready to take the plunge and become a thematic investor, head over to the Nutmeg website where you can learn more about the portfolios and deep dive into each of the themes. If you have any questions about thematic investing or want to know which of the investment styles could be right for you, you can book a free call with our expert team of wealth managers at any time. They'll be more than happy to guide you on your investing journey with Nutmeg. Finally, thank you very much for listening. If you like what you hear, please do share and subscribe, and feel free to contact us via the Nutmeg social media channels with any ideas, theme, or themes you would like us to talk about on a future episode. Until next time, thanks very much. The topics discussed in this podcast are for informational purposes only and should not be relied on for financial advice. As with all investing, your capital is at risk. Thematic investing carries specific risks and is not for everyone. The value of your portfolio with Nutmeg can go down as well as up, and you may get back less than you invest. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future performance, and tax treatment depends on your individual circumstances and may be subject to change in the future.